You're listening to the Stress in the City podcast, a self-care resource for the busy and burned out. I'm your host, voiceover artist Brittany Nicole, and each episode, I'm breaking down adulting. Because what's more stressful than being an adult, right? I'll share the best books, methods, and tips to help us all figure out how to do this life thing better. Ready? Let's start the show. So, I know it's been a while since I posted an episode, but I mean, honestly, sometimes life gets in the way of art. I don't love that as a fact, and I definitely can do a lot better with my consistency. Like, I made a promise to myself that I didn't keep, but you know, this is life. This is what it looks like. But I will say, and this is something that kind of inspired this current episode, I feel like I'm in the middle of a career transition that allows me to no longer have to turn off my creativity. You know, I would feel like I go to work and I have to be this thing that I'm not. And then at the end of the day, because I've been so outside of my element, it doesn't really leave me with that much like energy, creative energy and inspiration. And even if I have the inspiration, have the time to really focus on my personal projects. And I feel like I'm phasing that out. You know, one of my initiatives for this year, and not just this year, but in life period, but something I really started focusing on this year is aligning everything in my life, from the work that I do to the people that I spend time with to the clothes that I wear, everything, aligning it with, you know, who I am truly and authentically. So that's something that I'm in the process of doing in my life, and that's creating a lot of transition in my life, and just kind of reflecting on that, reflecting on the past couple of years with the pandemic. I mean, I've gone through several transitions of my own in this time. I've witnessed people that I'm close to going to transitions. And, you know, I mean, the pandemic in and of itself is a giant transition from the way that we used to kind of do life to the way that we do life now. And so I'm very interested in exploring these little ripple effects that happen when you shift certain places in your life and how that affects your friendships and relationships and yourself. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But also, I do kind of want to share some updates with the podcast. I have some new podcast art. I've been working with an amazing illustrator who literally took like my inspiration, the images that I gave, the idea that I was trying to convey, and brought it to life in a better way than I could have even imagined. So I'm really excited about my new pod art. I've been playing with sound design. I've listened to some feedback from you guys about introducing some music and sound effects to kind of add to the environment and add to the storytelling experience. So I'm going to be playing with that more. I also am playing with some new segments for the podcast. So this episode, I'm going to be introducing two new segments. The first segment is called The Microdose. And in The Microdose, what I'm going to be doing is breaking down whatever the main topic is for the episode, keeping it kind of short, kind of quippy, but potent at the same time. So, for example, this episode, we're going to talk about life transitions and friendships, what that looks like, how you can navigate it, how you know it's even happening to you. And I'm going to give you some homework and each microdose so that I'm sending you off with something you can really use. So the second segment I'm going to be introducing is called Hi Friend, and it's literally an advice column in podcast form. So I've been collecting questions and stories via my social media, and this is where I will share them anonymously, of course, and talk about my take on them and my opinion on them, and we'll just kind of see where it goes. So now that I've caught you up on my life story, let's get into the very first edition of The Microdose. Change is sometimes unpleasant, uncomfortable. Sometimes it's totally inspiring and unexpected. But I think most importantly and most truly, it's inevitable. You're going to change. You're going to go through changes. That's just life. That's a part of life. And you can't do life without people. You need your friends. You need your family. You know, and so if both of these things are constant, change is constant and relationships are constant, we have to kind of bridge the gap on how to navigate both. And I think honestly, sometimes we don't have enough conversations about this, or we don't have good conversations about how to navigate change in relationships. Although I think sometimes this happens better in romantic relationships than in friendships. So I kind of want to focus on the friendship piece, you know, because when you're in a romantic relationship with someone, it's a little bit easier. Not that it's easy, because, you know, it's still a skill that you have to learn to be able to express how you feel and your needs and to be vulnerable. Like, none of that is easy, but it's a little bit more expected, I think. When you're in a relationship with someone, to be able to say, hey, I'm feeling X, Y, and Z. I feel like you don't spend enough time with me. I feel like blah, blah, blah. But we're not really taught like how to do that in friendships, or that it's okay to do that in friendships. And so let's talk about some of the ways life transitions can affect your friendships. For example, relationship changes. And this can look like a new relationship. This can look like leaving a relationship. And there's so many different reactions that people can have to those things, or that you can have to those things. Let's say you're newly married. You know, you might be struggling with feeling guilty for not spending as much time with your friends, or not wanting to spend as much time with your friends. You might even feel like your friends judge you for wanting to spend time with your new boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, whatever, you know? So that's a thing. That's also a thing that even your well-meaning friends may feel jealous. You know, maybe you have something that they feel like they want. It might not necessarily, and there's a difference between jealous and envy. Jealous is you have something that I want and I feel sad about it. Whereas envy is you have something I want and you don't deserve it. If somebody feels envious of you, that's not your friend. But I think that there is, you know, there's a human jealousy that can happen sometimes when you're in a circle of friends or you have a close friend and your bond shifts because there's now someone else in your life that's taking up a space that they used to take up, or vice versa. It can also be challenging if, you know, you're in a new relationship and your friends don't like who you're with, or they don't understand, you know, why you're with the person that you're with, or they're talking about, you know, your new partner to other friends. I mean, that really creates an awkward situation. And it's not perfect, but healthy communication can navigate those situations. But these are things that come up. Y'all know I love Sex and the City, and I'm thinking about an episode. Was this an episode or was this the movie? Huh, I have to go on my catalog. But, oh, this was the movie, the first movie. The only movie that counts. This was after Big and Carrie had a logistical conversation about, you know, where she would live, because they weren't married. And they actually just decided in that conversation, okay, let's get married. There wasn't this whole like get down on one knee thing, whatever. So Carrie calls Samantha to tell her, hey, I'm getting married. And Samantha's response is honestly a Samantha response, but a Samantha response to Carrie getting married is not, oh my God, I'm so happy for you, yay. She was like, okay, that's okay. She ended up calling her back and apologizing and explaining herself. And I remember her saying something to the effect of, you know, I put you in the we're not getting married box. So the news to Samantha that Carrie was now marrying Big meant for Samantha that her relationship with Carrie was going to change. And that's a reality. That's something that does happen. Let's talk about the opposite side of that coin. Instead of it being a new relationship, let's say it's an existing relationship, you know, where you have your partner and you have your friends and they have their friends and your friends are their friends and their friends are your friends and you've got this whole kind of great little ecosystem. What happens when it falls apart? When you have created a safe space with someone else and with their someone else's, now you've got all these different players and all these different scenarios that can kind of play out. You might have people who, in the name of neutrality, pull back. They avoid the situation and they avoid you. You might have people who do exactly the opposite. They get right in the middle. They choose sides. You may experience people offering advice, whether it's well-meaning, bad, unsolicited, or otherwise, you know, about what you should do, what you shouldn't do, etc. And it's a confusing time. There's already this tremendous shift that's happening in your life that comes with the relationship itself breaking apart, but then you have all these other little things that you didn't necessarily realize were a part of the breakup as well. It's kind of like an earthquake. You know, you have the ground moving, something shifting apart your world, literally. That's the one thing. But then you have all these little aftershocks that you didn't expect. It's a domino effect. And because of that domino effect, you know, you have the sadness about the relationship compounded with sometimes the distrust and the isolation that can happen outside of the main relationship and in the relationships that are around that relationship. You know, as if that wasn't challenging enough, relationship changes are not the only transitions in life that affect your friendships. Status and lifestyle changes also affect your friendships. Things like choosing to not drink. You might find yourself in situations where your friends are pressuring you to drink or shaming you for not drinking, or you know may feel disinclined to hang out with certain people or certain groups because you know the pressure is going to be there or the alcohol is going to be there and you may not feel like you can resist it. I think starting a business is also another transition, and you can face situations like maybe your friends and family, they don't understand what you're doing, they don't believe in your vision, and that can cause some tension. Or maybe just your priorities have shifted and how you're allocating your time has also shifted. There's so many more, literally. I don't want this podcast to be forever, but the more I talk about the transitions, the more I'm thinking about other transitions, like making more money. What would come with that? Guilt for having more, not maybe your friends not being able to afford the same experiences as you, or a little jealousy, the crabs in a bucket, or you think you're better than us thing, or making less money. You know, now you're the one who doesn't feel like you can afford to go out to eat or go to concerts or do the things that your friends are doing, and you might have a little FOMO or a little embarrassment about your situation. That's a thing. Major weight loss or major weight gain can also shift relationships. People who are shifting their political or religious beliefs, that can cause a huge shift. changes in your style, having a baby, like, and the list just goes on and on and on. The bottom line is we change, right? We grow, we add things to our life, we take away things from our life, and the way people know us changes, our priorities change. But what can we do to maintain the relationships that are important to us throughout the changes that happen in our life? The very first step to me is going to be to kind of get a mental inventory of your important relationships and looking at the status of them. Are you feeling disconnected? Are you feeling connected? Are you okay with feeling disconnected? Are you not okay with feeling disconnected? That kind of thing. And it's really important, I think, to not just think about, oh, you know, we're not connected anymore. I need to do something about that. Maybe you don't. Not every relationship is going to maintain the same level of closeness as you grow. And that isn't a bad thing. It doesn't necessarily mean, I would say the first thing you need to do is kind of get a lay of the land as far as your relationships go. Your important relationships. Thinking about, you know, how do you feel about them? What's the state that they're currently in? And being honest with yourself on whether or not you want to change that. Because just because your life has changed and your relationships may have changed, that doesn't mean there's a problem to fix. For example, let's say you have a group of friends and none of them have children, but one of them is pregnant and has a baby. Well, she's got different priorities now. She's got different limitations on her time. She has different needs than the rest of her friends may have right now. You know, and she has to decide for herself whether she wants exactly the friendship that she had before having a child or if she wants something different, a different dynamic, and if that's possible with her existing friends. That's what I mean by taking inventory and getting a lay of the land. There may be connections you need to repair, and there may just need to be an acceptance on your part that things have changed and that that's okay. So that's step one. Take stock of your relationships, do an assessment of the status. After you've done your assessment, proceed to step two, which is, you know, if you've identified that there's some disconnection and you want to do something about it, the question is, what caused the disconnection in the first place? Was something said or done that was not adequately addressed? Was there some boundary that was overstepped? Was there some slight or perceived slight that occurred that ended in an argument or no conversation at all? I don't know. That's what you have to figure out, is this just a matter of space or is there something wrong? And this part, this step is a little bit more challenging to me because, you know, taking stock of the relationship, that's a mental exercise that you do on your own. But actually branching out to reconnect or repair is going to require vulnerability on your part to be the first one maybe to do that. If you are feeling the disconnection, it's your job to take ownership of your feelings and it's your job to do something about it. Even if there was something that happened and it wasn't your fault, if you have a problem with the way things are, you have to take responsibility for doing something about the way that you feel. That might not mean everything ends with peaches and kittens and sunshines and rainbows. But at least, no matter what the outcome is, you can say that you've done your part. And that makes it a little bit easier to move on if that's what you have to do. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, because a lot of good can happen when people just talk. Whether the conversation is, hey, you know, I've missed you, we haven't really spent that much time together, let's catch up. What can we do to make more of a consistent effort to stay connected? That's a great, healthy conversation to have. And sometimes relationships grow and strengthen when walls come down and people just speak heart to heart. But that vulnerability can be so terrifying. Because there's an element of rejection that you have to face. What if I bare my soul and they don't? Or what if I bare my soul and they deny my reality? And, you know, I wish I could promise you that that won't happen, but it could. There really is a risk. There really is a risk in being vulnerable, but there's also a risk in not being vulnerable. You continue to hold on to whatever you're feeling and you do nothing about it, and it compounds on you. You never get to release that. So you can decide to have a conversation and rebuild a connection that was lost. Or you can decide to be vulnerable and be open and repair any damage that may have happened and take the chance that it might work and it might not. Or you can just let it eat you alive. That's what it is. That's just what it is. Now, there does come a time where a friendship actually ends. And I want to differentiate this from what I spoke about earlier, which was, you know, things have just kind of changed. The quality of the friendship has changed. The closeness of the friendship has changed. But there's still peace. Like, you don't have problems. You just don't kick it like that. I'm talking about, this is somebody that you don't rock with at all anymore. Maybe something happened, or maybe you decided, this person isn't good for me. I'm not spending my time with them, or I don't like the way I feel around them, or whatever the case is. Sometimes friendships end, right? And I think that we don't talk about friendship breakups, or should I say, we don't legitimize friendship breakups the same way we legitimize relationship breakups, but they hurt just as bad. You go through the same phases of grief and denial and anger with friendship breakups that you do with romantic relationships. And so to me, it's worth, one, acknowledging just how difficult it can be, but two, also looking at it as a phase that you're gonna have to go through. Give yourself space and grace to feel different things as, you know, you go on moving on from this friendship. One thing that I think is really, sounds super corny. I know, it sounds super corny to do, but just stick with me, okay? You have to grieve the loss. You have to grieve it as a loss, because that's actually what it is. And I think a good actionable step, because grieving the loss, like, I feel like you hear people say that and it sounds abstract, but first call it that. Like, I lost this person as my friend. And as a proponent of, you know, journaling, I would go as far as to say, like, write down the things that you have lost. It could be, I used to always go to Taco Tuesday with this person and now I don't anymore. Like, it sounds masochistic. It's not, though. What it is you're giving a name to your problem, which gives your brain an opportunity to solve it. Okay, maybe this is somebody that I don't go to Taco Tuesday with anymore. Maybe you can go to Taco Tuesday with somebody else. Maybe you can go to Taco Tuesday by yourself and you actually discover that you like Taco Tuesday by yourself. It's a mental and creative exercise. And mental and creative exercises don't always feel good. I'm not saying that this is going to make you feel good. I'm saying that in the long run, it can help you feel better. Conceptualizing the loss and really understanding the loss is a key part in helping you to move on from it. I think another thing to do at the end of the friendship is to really evaluate what happened. Not from a place of going back over everything you ever said and everything they ever said and trying to figure out what you did wrong, but just thinking about it from the standpoint of, okay, these were maybe the mistakes I made. These were the mistakes that they made. These are the boundaries that I now understand that I have. These are the boundaries that I overstepped maybe in their relationship. And taking that information to say, this is what I'm going to do differently going forward in my other relationships or in my new relationships. I think it was Jay-Z actually that said, I only win or I learn. And while I think the phrase is not his best verse, it's tremendously true. Being able to navigate obstacles in life and take that data, whether it was a mistake made or a failure, and say, okay, I'm going to use that to improve myself, is an invaluable skill. Because, you know, this whole episode is about transitions. You're going to have good transitions. You're going to have bad transitions. Life is a roller coaster of ups and downs. And it's a way of making the downs a little bit more worth it, I guess. Getting something out of it. So anyway, that's my very wordy take on that. Now let's get into our second segment, which is called Hi Friend. So here's the question. How do you say you need help and I'm not capable, do not have the capacity, nor am I qualified to help you in the way you need, all without being a jerk? So I feel like you have the words already. It sounds like this person is maybe in a situation where a friend or family member is asking for them to help in a way that they don't feel comfortable helping, or they're not qualified to help, or maybe they just don't want to help them in the way that whoever this person is asking them to help. But all of those sound like reasonable responses to me. I'm not capable. I don't have the capacity to help you. I'm not qualified to help you in the way you need. Saying those things is not being a jerk. I think maybe you might want to ask yourself why you feel like a jerk for setting a boundary with this person. I think if I were in this situation, it sounds like, I'm making some assumptions here, but it sounds like this is a person who doesn't accept boundaries well. Maybe in the past you've tried to set a boundary with them and they pushed back, or they didn't accept it, or they don't respect your boundaries, or whatever the case is. So I'm assuming that you're not comfortable, you know, denying this person access to your expertise or time or whatever it is because you're concerned with how they're going to take it. That's their problem. You know, as long as you are being respectful, there's nothing wrong with you setting a boundary and saying no. Now, as far as how I would say it to this type of person, I wouldn't say much at all. I would keep it very short because it sounds like they're going to be the type of person to go back and forth with you. And I'd probably say something like, I'm not qualified to help you with X. It sounds like you might feel like you're being a jerk for saying no. But if that were true, that means that you'd have to say yes to everything everyone asks of you, whether it's reasonable or not, to avoid being a jerk or somebody who's mean. So I think you have the words to say. Really, I think your challenge is getting comfortable with saying no and taking out the association that setting a boundary with someone or saying no equals being a jerk. And then also, just one thing to add, saying yes when you mean no isn't nice. It's just safe. Because chances are, if you've agreed to something that you're not fully in alignment with, you're going to end up feeling resentful about the situation or about the person. And that comes out. That comes out. It may not come out immediately, but it comes out. So it's better to just be honest. And if you get pushback, I think I'm not available is a great ambiguous way of explaining without really explaining. Because if somebody wants to know why you can't do something and you say, I'm not available, they can use their imagination on what that means. And you can make it mean whatever you want. I'm not available because I have other plans. I'm not available because I'm home scratching my butt. It can mean whatever you want it to mean. And it's vague enough that it makes me happy to not have to explain myself further if I'm being prompted to explain. So that would probably be how I navigate a situation like that. I hope that is helpful. Now, if you have a question that you want to hear me discuss on the podcast, you can submit your question at stressinthecitypodcast.com/hi friend. It'll take you to a contact page where you can submit your questions and maybe it'll show up on the next episode. Who knows? So that's a wrap on today's episode. I want to thank you guys for sticking with me through my life transitions. And I will talk to you next time, friends. Bye.